Good morning. Yes, I'm going to have an interesting subject this morning. I think it is, anyways, and I know you read her book. I'm going to be referring to Angela Duckworth this morning, Jared, on grit. And, you know, she kind of defines grit, sticking with things over a very long term until you master them. And I was thinking about, I think you could speak very well to that after 60 plus years in the industry. I'd love to hear your perspective on what do you think she meant by that?
Well, I've read her book, and I've gone on TED Talks, and I listened to her twice on TED Talks. One was TED Talks, one was TEDx, similar to a TED Talk, but it's privately sponsored. And she's really a bright, articulate, dedicated professional who really believes that IQ, EQ are valuable, but the most important thing of anybody's success is their dogged determination to stick with it until they've accomplished what they set out to do. That's it. And that's based on a large number of her programs that she studied, she put together from the military academies to find out what makes a great person to be able to graduate from the SEALs. We all know what the Navy SEALs are, which is an insane thing for anybody to go through, to people graduating university, to people becoming successful, people becoming healthy, getting healthier. And it's all about the determination. And if you've got it, consider yourself fortunate, because that keeps you going. And if you don't have it, you've got to reach down inside and find something that inspires a person to be able to get it. I think the example of Tom Bilyeu is a good example of that. He was obese. He says he was seriously overweight. Well, they call it now morbidly obese is the technical terminology. And he was depressed, of course, and he was totally unmotivated, and he had to change his life. He had to, or it was going to go to heck in a handbasket, and he was going to probably lose his life. And he changed his life completely. He started reading. He started exercising. Because a person isn't exercising and reading, Greg, I have to tell you something. Nothing's going to really change, because you've got to work on yourself. We have the responsibility to do the best and be the best person that we can be, because that is our responsibility, living a life of integrity, principle, honor, and respect. So that's why I admire Angela Duckworth. Her background, her parents are Japanese, so she's a Japanese descendant. But she's just a terrific gal. Got a lot of spunk, a lot of passion. But by golly, she worked hard at what she did to prove her point. That is the essence, which means the foundation of a person's excellence. It's not intelligence. It's not any of the things that we were told when we were kids. It's just that stick-to-itiveness and that desire to win, that desire to be the best that you can be. And just don't quit on yourself. So that's sort of my synopsis of Angela Duckworth and a quick review of the book Grit, which I've been very blessed. I've always had that grit, determination. I wasn't the smartest in class, one of the better-looking ones, but I wasn't the smartest in class. Or any of those things at all. I just worked my fanny off. I just wouldn't give up or give in or quit until it happened. So back to you. That's my story.
Well, you know what? I think it's just a great overview, especially for people that maybe don't know who she is. And it's definitely well worth reading. She really embraces grit is the power of passion and perseverance, and it's just never giving up attitude. She says that really makes it's a game changer. It's like she almost compares it to being a marathon runner. It's the long game. It's not, you know, the moment. And I like to kind of reflect what grit means. I, in effective in sales, in business. And John, I like you to speak to this, because I know you, after 30 plus years, you're definitely qualified on this subject. You could write a book on it. It's called Long-Term Goal Orientation. Grit in sales involves maintaining a focus on long-term objectives rather than being discouraged by short-term obstacles. Could you speak to that, especially in reference to our business?
Well, the first thing I think of is great goals make great people, not great people make great goals. It's the opposite. It is great goals make great people. And when you do focus on long-term goals, long-term objectives, then it's all about focus. You know, when you focus on where you're going and what you have to do to get there, then you have that singleness of purpose. And you always strive to be your best self, because the goals are the end result of what you're trying to achieve. And again, in trying to achieve those goals, it's like Jerry says, we become what we think about, the books we read and the people we associate with. So if we're focused on that and focused on our goals, then, and show, like you've talked about, that grit, that perseverance, that dogged determination, the stick-to-itness, if we master that, and some people have it, and some people have to learn it. I think you have to, in our business and in a lot of businesses, people have to learn how to set goals. People have to learn how to write them down. When someone joins our business, right away we introduce them to goals, short-term, intermediate, and long-term goals. We help them write them down. We help them understand the importance of goals, and then when they get into the business, they start doing presentations. They start doing approaches, and we keep track. We keep track of those approaches. We keep track of the presentations. We keep track of the business. We keep track until we see a pattern, and they understand their law of averages. And then they start developing confidence in themselves and in the business because of the records they keep. But it takes a certain individual to set goals, because Jerry talks about this all the time. In Roman times, the Roman leaders, they thought, and they believed, most people just want bread and circuses. They just want to be fed, and they just want to be entertained. But the people that want to be successful in this business, in our business or in any kind of business, they are a different set of people. They're not happy with bread and circuses. They want more for themselves, and they want more from their families. And goals give them that long-term focus, the objective to go out and do what it takes to be successful. And again, it goes back to learning perseverance, learning that dogged determination, that stick-to-itness. We can learn that. Some of us, I think, are blessed with having it, and I call it just being stubborn. Being stubborn. There's people that are stubborn, and in our business, the majority of people that are successful, they have that singleness of purpose. They have that stubbornness. They have that discipline to read daily, to exercise daily, to improve themselves, to be their best selves. So, back to you, Greg.
Well, I like what you just shared. I totally agree with you. I like that, because you're right. For some people, it's just being stubborn. It's just saying, I'm never going to, give up to my professional goals. It just says a lot about the character of the person. So, John, you're a good example of that. If we looked up stubborn and persistent, there'd be a great picture of you beside that, I think. You're that guy. So thanks, John, for sharing your thoughts. And I want to go to... I'm going to go to Joel, because I have so much, I think we all do, Joel, from when you started to how successful you became and becoming in our career, and I know you can speak to this, persistence in prospecting. Grit is evident in the consistent effort put into prospecting, even when faced with a lack of immediate results. Can you speak to that, Joel?
Absolutely. Anybody who's been around for any length of time has had a day where they say, oh, I can't find anybody. Nobody's around. Nobody's out. There are no self-employed people out there in the world anymore. That's kind of the feeling. And of course we know it's silly, and of course we know it's nonsense, but at the end of the day, there are people who say, well, you know, no one's around, so I'm going home at 2 p.m. Or I'm going home at 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. and whatever, and they call it quits before the day's over. But anybody who's also been around for any good length of time can also remember a day where they couldn't find anybody, and then all of a sudden their whole day fell into place in the last hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and they walked away with a nice chunk of business on the last presentation. The last person they met, you name it. Coming up before Christmas is a great example of that. Almost every single year, I write a nice dual chunk of business right before Christmas, and there's always a constant cliche of, you know, new agents say, oh, nobody buys insurance before Christmas, or everybody, I keep getting the same excuse. You know, we don't want to spend money before Christmas, or we're busy with Christmas plans. But what they don't realize is if you keep being persistent, and this is just a side note around regarding Christmas now, I think about it, is there are people who won't sit down the entire year. And now, right before Christmas, they say, you know what, we've got the time, perfect. This is when I normally do these things. And then an agent walks up because they didn't quit, and they say, perfect, yeah, I've been thinking about doing something. I just haven't had enough time. Sit down, and they take a nice piece of business. Makes your entire week. So the people who go home, who quit, who get the negative mentality, who allow their negative emotions to control themselves, are the ones that it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. They walk away from that business, nothing ever happens. Whereas the people who, again, stick to it are the ones that walk away from that and have the victory story every single year. So if you're thinking about quitting, if you're thinking about giving up halfway through the day, just remember, it's a law of averages business. And if you do not get the numbers in, your law of averages will not work, and you will go home broke most of the time. But if you stick with it, you stick to the numbers, you fulfill your law of averages, you are going to walk away from business that you never, ever expected, and you're going to be the person who is in the top 5% because you stuck it out and you had the self-discipline. Because I love the phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough keep going. Throw it back to you, Greg.
Wow. Love your thoughts, Joel, and you really live by that. You're consistently, year after year after year. And, you know, I always say people that are top earners, the only difference between them and you is they take more no's and more rejection than anybody else. And you're a great example of that, Joel. So thanks for sharing that. And I'm going to go to Sylvia. And I'd like you to speak to this, Sylvia, because it's really close to what Joel talked about. He actually did talk about it. But I'd like you to, your perspective on persistence in prospecting. Grit is evident in the consistent effort put into prospecting, even when faced with a lack of immediate results. Can you speak to that, Sylvia?
Sure can. When you go out for the day and you've got your goal set for your 5 presentations and you're searching, hunting out for that treasure hunt of your 5 people that you're going to speak to, you know, sometimes you have a great day where right away you find a great prospect, you get your first presentation on, and you do get your 3 before lunch and your 2 after lunch. But not every day works out like that. And so having that persistence, the grit, the determination that you will find somebody today to talk to do your presentation. As a matter of fact, you will find five people. If at the end of the day you only found four, or maybe you only found three, as Joel says, sometimes, you know, just that's the way days go. But you don't, at the end of the day, you know, beat yourself up and say, this doesn't work. Every day is different, and life is live. You just don't know who you're going to meet today. But the strange thing about life is when you set a specific goal that you are determined that you're going to meet, you're going to do that because you've watched other people around you do that, whether it's getting your 30,000 in a quarter or whether it's just getting five presentations in a day. When you've been trained, you've seen somebody else do five presentations in a day, and you've also probably seen that it doesn't happen every day. That's why we talk about 21 in 5 days. And sometimes it takes you six. But I am doing this, and you have that determination within you, and you just keep going, and you maintain that positive attitude, because if you listen to the recording that was in Jerry's newsletter, or you listen to The Strangest Secret, we become what we think about, and that is truth. And if you think of yourself as a successful landmark agent that's able to find the people, that's able to present properly, and that's able to write business, that will be fact for you. But if you go out every day and you're not too sure, and you're a bit wishy-washy, and you haven't really 100% learned your presentation, and you think you're going to wing it, life doesn't reward people that wings it. There's just a strange phenomenon within the intelligence of the universe, the natural laws that you can't see, like the law of attraction, that when someone has focused on, I will be successful, and they keep going, and even though, and certainly in my many years of direct sales, there have been many days that I have gone home and said, I'm not doing this no more. But when you have a few moments with yourself and you start to think about your goal again, you get fueled up and you say, tomorrow's going to be better. And tomorrow will be better. And it we get rewarded for that constant, consistent persistency. That if you just keep trying and keep trying and keep trying, one day you get rewarded. It's like anybody that has done any kind of serious hard work to work towards a goal, eventually they achieve it, or they give up on themselves. And that's the only thing that will stop you, is if you give up on yourself. And so you learn to be persistent, and part of that is reading the right books and hanging out with the right people. There's nobody that's successful on this in this meeting today that has not gone through some tremendous, especially the more successful you are, the bigger the challenge, because it's like you have to prove to the universe, I'm doing this. I don't care what anybody else says or what anybody does. I'm doing this. And when you do it often enough, you get rewarded. And it's unseen. We can't necessarily explain it other than it works, and you truly do become what you think about. So it's your choice every day. To believe in yourself. And we don't bring anybody into Landmark that we don't believe in, that they can be successful. So if you're here and you're new, somebody believes in you because we've invited you to join us. And so you're not alone in having belief in yourself. And together, we all achieve more. Back to you, Greg.
Excellent. Excellent. Love your thoughts, Sylvia. You're, again, another proven professional in our business, and you are a great example of leading by example, just in your attitude and the way you look at life. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to go to Ruth, because Ruth, I'd like you to speak to this. Practice active listening. Listen attentively to your prospects. Understanding their needs and concerns allows for more effective communication and problem solving. How does that, apply to our business?
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Turn that on. I'm not in an ideal location, but that's okay. People, they don't always say what they mean. And that's for sure. And sometimes when somebody is saying something, what they really mean is something else. And when we practice active listening, what we're doing is, first of all, telling these people that they're important and that we are listening to them, because the majority of people out there in a conversation aren't listening to the words that the speaker is speaking. They're listening to the words inside their head of what they're going to speak next instead of being in the moment and listening to what that person is saying. And, of course, to do that, a great trick to do that, if you're stuck and you don't know how to actively listen, and a really important thing to know to say is, tell me more. And all of a sudden, those people will tell you more, and it'll give you time to formulate what your strategy is going to be if you're stuck there. But if you actively listen and you can hear, first of all, sometimes, I'll just use an example. Sometimes we think somebody is saying that they have no need, when in actual fact, what they're saying is they have no time. what they're saying is they have to go and talk to their wife, when really what they're saying is, I'm a little bit afraid to make this decision all by myself right now. and if you really listen, you might hear that. And if you rush in and you try to overcome, what you end up doing is clobbering those people. And they're like, oh, that lady was, you know, or that man, they weren't listening to me. And so, you know, I don't want that. You know, when you are trying to date somebody, or when you first are enamored with somebody, you can't come on too strong or they'll run away. And it's the same thing here. And if you don't listen to what people are saying, and really hear what they're saying and practice not rushing in. And like Joel says, just take a couple of seconds and count, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 before you answer. Your answer will come out more, I'm going to use the word strategized. And of course, that means that, you know, we know everything in life is a numbers game. We know this, and it's not just our business. It's every business. It's everything in the world. That's what, you know, The Strangest Secret is talking about. 95% of people are mediocre, 5% are more. The 20-80 rule, 20% of the people do 80% of the business. The cream rises to the top. And so if we practice listening, and we can know that if we say this, then this happens. It's like algebra. If this, then that. And if we practice and keep learning and growing, we'll start to understand that when you're in the trial close and somebody says, oh, I got to think about it, instead of rushing in to say something, you just stay calm and you count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You might count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 again. And all of a sudden they might say something different, and they might ask you a question, or they might... And then our system tells you what to do next. So if they're just making a statement, you stay silent. If they ask you a question, you answer the question, and you don't elaborate too much on that question. You answer it briefly, and you assume back into where you were. And so these are all things that we learn by stick-to-itiveness, just sticking with it. You can't do it. You can't be shown how to do anything, be a mechanic and fix a car and just do it in 10 minutes. I remember my oldest daughter, I wanted to put her in figure skating when she was 4 years old, and she said, oh, that's okay, I already know how to skate from watching, you know, we used to watch the Olympics on the TV. And she thought she knew how to skate just because she was watching it on TV. So that's That's certainly a good thing to practice in your mind how to do something, but you have to get out and get in the trenches and get a little bit mucky and learn how to listen. And if you learn how to listen, you'll hear the words that are not being spoken sometimes, and you'll know calmly how to move forward and help that person to the realization that they should become a client with us. So I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but that's what I'm saying.
Well, your thoughts, that comes from wisdom, Ruth. You really know what you're talking about. You lived it, you understand it, and that's why you're so successful. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to go to Christian. Christian, I'd like you to speak to this. Learning from failures, viewing failures as opportunities to learn and improve sales strategies. What does that mean in our business?
Can you hear me, Greg?
Sure can.
Every time that we take action and we have the courage to take action, we're gaining something regardless of the outcome. So, you know, in every failure, there is an equal or greater seed of success. So we, you know, are inevitably going to fall short. And our relationship with failure is really important, you know, how we view that, whether we incorporate that into who we are or not is important. We don't want to label ourselves as a failure because we have failed. Those that have succeeded the most have often failed the most. And so the relationship you have with failure is going to determine where you end up. So if you look at the mistakes that you've made and where you've fallen short and you learn from them, then that's growth and you're getting better. If you look at that as proof that you're not good enough, you're very unlikely to continue to take action. It will diminish your courage. And grit is an unyielding courage. It never quits. Your courage is always present. Because as you face these adversities and failures, you have to negotiate within yourself how you handle it. Are you going to look at it as a lesson? Are you going to look at it as an opportunity or proof that you're not good enough and unworthy? That moment when you fall short, how long is it going to last? And it's natural to feel disappointed and it's natural to feel negative emotions. We are humans. We're not robots. Positive attitude doesn't mean never feeling down. It means how do you handle the down? How long do you allow yourself to live in that moment? Do you wallow in it? Do you ruminate on it for hours? Or do you take it, look at it through a test tube, objectively, not as if it was yourself, but removed from it, and learn? And when you have that relationship with failure, those moments are moments. They're not hours or days or weeks. They're momentary. And they're positive because, again, you're testing yourself and your limits. When you fail, you know more about your abilities and where you need to work on and what you need to invest in. And grit is continuing to learn afterwards. When you fall short and you fail, having the courage to dig your heels in and continue to look at the problem, try to be creative, be resourceful. Reach out to those around you. Pick up a book. The people who do that are the gritty people because they're continuing to take action in spite of a result that they didn't want. And it doesn't, you know, grit is a long-term thing, but a long-term thing, we can change the perspective of what, you know, long-term even means, at least in my mind, because, you know, maybe you're looking to work on your grittiness. And you go through a mourning, and you're not getting the result that you want. You don't feel like you have traction. Well, how are you going to respond in the afternoon? Are you going to allow your mind to slip into a negative place? Are you going to see a lack of abundance? Are you going to start to see scarcity? Or are you going to choose to think that the next one is the one? And any call can make the difference. And the best people are waiting to come. Well, that is grittiness in your attitude because you're facing a series of events that you are discouraged by and continuing to think positively and hopefully. I find that, you know, to feel this as a reward, those that are willing to just do everything they can in the shortfall feel the result of what grittiness is in the long term. So what I mean by that is, like, let's say, you know, it's a Monday to Saturday and it's Thursday and you're not getting the results that you want. There's a lot of people who will kind of chalk it up for tomorrow. You know, well, it's Thursday at 4 o'clock. I haven't got what I wanted. The whole week hasn't gone my way. And, you know, tomorrow's gonna work out a little better. And tomorrow comes and you're still facing adversity. And, you know, maybe by 3 o'clock, you're feeling that same weight. And, you know, you've worked every day. So in your mind, you might think, well, you know, I'm being gritty. But the real gritty people are working until they can't. So they're going to go at this with a fiercity and an intensity that is different. You know, if it's 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the evening, they're still at it. They're still working towards it. That's the grittiness. Because what happens is those that do that, that go that little extra mile, that put in that extra effort that a lot of people would say, well, I'm not going to do that until I get a result. You know, I'm not going to put out that extra little bit until I start seeing results for it. They don't see the results for it. Those that do put in that extra little bit, that put that extra mile, that work, you know, beyond, they get a result. And then it's an aha moment. It's proof, it's validation, and it's a win. And that's what you remember. That's who you are. That's what you incorporate into your personhood as your identity, is the person who continues in the face of adversity until you win. And then you're gritty. And that feels good. Because, you know, no matter what happens, if you just work as hard as you possibly can for as long as you can, you get the result that you want. And in time, that grittiness pays off because you start to learn quicker, you apply your lessons faster, and all of a sudden, what used to take you 6 days, you can do in 3 or 2. And those that get to achieve that are the ones that have that grittiness, not only just in the weeks and the months and the years, but day to day to day to day. So I really encourage people, and it's why we talk so much about reading, because there are so many examples in athletics. It's the Olympians who didn't win the first time, but continue to do the 10-hour days and the three-a-day workouts. You know, it's the musician who was practicing 6 hours a day. It's the politician who had an unconventional path. You know, there's so many examples out there of people who suffered and toiled and had unyielding courage who eventually achieved. And it isn't some secret. It isn't some genetic code. It isn't some special person with this background or whatever. It's a person who just continued to work at it and learn from their failures and apply their lessons. And it's not glamorous. And it means that you have to take a lot of responsibility for where you are, which I think is often the challenge, is just looking yourself in the mirror and saying, am I working as hard as I could? Am I doing everything? Am I learning all the lessons? Am I applying them? But that's what develops your grit, and that grit will guarantee that you end up being successful. So those are my thoughts. We'll send it back to you, Greg.
Well, great thoughts, Christian. And, you know, I hope people are taking notes from everyone that's sharing their thoughts today, because, you know, you're a great example. Your ability to be coachable, you know, you applied that when you played very competitive hockey, and you take that same attitude that you had from learning from your failures in sports, and now you just apply it to business. And that's why you're so successful, because you're coachable. You're always asking questions. And when you're committed to learning and being successful, in spite of having moments where maybe you feel like you're failing, you can break through these barriers. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. And I'm actually going to go to Amy. Amy, I know you can speak to this. Embracing feedback. Grit involves being open to feedback, using it to identify areas for improvement and making necessary adjustments. Can you speak to that, please?
Yes, Absolutely, and I love this topic, and everyone on this call should really love this topic, because to be on this call and to say yes to this career path, you are a person of grit. Like, everyone, you are a person of grit. You said yes to this opportunity. I love this call, because you need to be gritty from the time you get into your car until the end of the day. And embracing feedback is sometimes humbling and very tough, and feedback can come in. First of all, the feedback comes with your from your mentor, and if they truly want you to succeed, the conversation might be a little bit tough to hear, but you have to use your two ears and close your mouth and have an open mind and listen. And then as you go forward, the feedback comes from the work that you're doing, from the clients and the prospects that you're meeting, and you know, we have the same approach and introduction. We have the same system, and sometimes you'll get a negative comment, just like not a negative, like please go away. Like, you never really hear that. Honestly, there's such nice people out there, but you'll hear, you know, yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. I don't need this. Thank you very much. Like, that's not really a bad thing to hear. So I'm gritty and I say, oh, you know, nice to meet you. I hope you have a great day and I'll see you around again because, you know, I'm out here. And they said, oh, yeah, you know, I will see you again. And that's great. So, but embracing feedback is so valuable. And a true professional embraces feedback and wants to learn and grow. And when I think of grittiness is using all of the means of communication that the prospect is giving to you. So it's what they're saying, but it's also their facial and their body, and you need to be grittiness to absorb what they're listening and saying. So when you have someone saying, and they're listening, and they're agreeing with, they're nodding, and they're saying, yes, that's true. Yes, yeah, that's true. Like, they're engaged. You have a really awesome opportunity to move it down the sales, presentation funnel to the point of an application and to the point of solidifying the business. But you need to be gritty. You have to have the grittiness to, when you hear someone say, I need to think about it, but, you know, I really should have something. Feel, felt, found, emotional story. And grittiness, then you go to the close again. What's your business name? Well, here it is. And then you move more into the application, and then they say, you know, what are you doing? I need to think about this. And so I say, well, are you doing up an application? Yes. Well, I need to think about this, but, you know, I really do need something. Okay, that is a sale that is going to be closed, and you need to have the grittiness to, if it takes 6, 7, 8 emotional stories, that is true professionalism, and that is being of service to that person. Because if you shut down and say, especially when they're saying, I want to think about this, but I really do need something, that's being a... You need to have grittiness to be recognized that as a true professional and move that to a new protecting that person. Because if you leave, you're likely never to see that person again, and then they're still thinking about it, but they're busy in their day, and then they really will be very thankful to you when they need the service. And I'm going to kick it back to you. Thank you for calling upon me.
Well, Amy, thanks for sharing your thoughts, because you're so well respected. You're a great student, and I know you're not afraid to ask questions, and that's why you're so successful so early in your career, and consistently you're improving your skills. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, and I'm going to go to Jack. Jack, I'd like you to speak to this, handling uncertainty. In sales, uncertainty is inevitable. Grit involves facing uncertainty with positive mindset and adapting strategies as needed. Can you speak to that, Jack?
Sure. I think you've been a little tired of that, but one of the biggest thoughts, if don't go, you definitely will not work with them. There's always uncertainty, but the only way to have a positive outcome is by putting action in. So whenever you're sitting there being like, oh, maybe they're too old, too young, too fat, too thin, too strong, too weak, whatever thought you have, the driveway is too long, it's too worn down, it's too nice, whatever your thought is, the only way to know, the only way to find out, and the only way to potentially gain a customer is by approaching the business. So that uncertainty is your opportunity. If you are certain they're going to say no, if you're certain that they can't qualify, you might not approach them. But uncertainty, lack of clarity is excitement, is potential, and it is opportunity to improve, to grow, to expand your business, to protect someone, and to find the right person. So the people that write the most business also take the most notes, because they face that uncertainty and see it as an opportunity more often than the people that don't. I can't remember who said it, but no means next opportunity. But I'll always remember, if you don't approach, the answer is 100% no. If you do approach, at least you have the chance to get a yes. So approach that uncertainty with excitement, not fear. So back to you.
Well, Jack, that's why you've done so well. Again, if you don't, what was that you said? If you don't go, it's no?
If you don't go, the answer's always no.
Yeah. Well said. You know, you're a person of action. And, you know, even when you were learning your craft, didn't matter how uncomfortable you were, your goals were bigger than your fears, and you were committed to just being a professional. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to go to, actually, Chelsea, you really are really embracing your growth and your learning, and I know you can speak to this. Staying committed to training. Actively participating in sales training programs and consistently seeking self-improvement. Can you speak to that, Chelsea?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am always on these calls, so that is that's definitely helpful for the self-improvement, because there is a lot of wisdom here. I have too many audiobooks I'm listening to right now, maybe. I got that Never Split the Difference one, and that's a fun negotiator kind of one. And I got that from this call, but also there's a lot of Tony Robbins, and I'm listening to Think and Grow Rich again. And I am, you know, when your leader is your mother, sometimes you don't want to listen, but I know that she's telling me the right things, and I need to be coachable and listen to her. Because, you know, we all get off track sometimes, and then she'll say it, and I'm like, oh, yep, I did do that, and I can see that, and I can grow from that, and every experience with every potential prospect that I have, if you take that as something that you can learn from, I'm just really enjoying being on this career path and getting to learn and grow with myself, because this is an excellent career if you want to be growing. Well, if you're not growing, then what's going on? This is the perfect environment, and you have all of these wonderful, this is that rare air with all of these leaders that you get to listen to and learn from. So just being immersed in that and just knocking on doors and hitting the pavement, just get out of your car, don't even think about it, and don't think about getting all of them done. Just say, okay, I'm going to talk to someone now, okay, I'm going to get on the presentation now, don't need to think about, I need to get my five in, I'm just thinking about what's happening right now, and that's easier for me to get through it all. Okay, back to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chelsea, and, you know, you are on all these calls, and you're embracing and you're wise to listen to the people that have validated a proven system. They know what they're doing, and you're a great student. You trust them, you listen to them, and more importantly, you're applying what you're listening to. It's not just knowledge. People say knowledge is power, and I kind of challenge that. It's applied knowledge that's power, and that's what you're starting to do. You're always stepping out of your comfort zone, and you're getting stronger and better at being more efficient at your craft. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, and I'm going to go to Eileen. Eileen, I'd like you to speak to this. Taking responsibility, ownership of challenges is the theme. Taking responsibility for challenges and activity, working to overcome them. Can you speak to that, Eileen?
Thanks for calling on me, Greg. Definitely, I mean, since you started in this career path, it's definitely, you know, everything that you come across is going to be a challenge that you have to get over and work through. So, I mean, having the leadership like we do, and like me, like working with Christian and having, like, you know, I'll do a presentation and then we get in the car and we talk about it. And if I'm by myself for a few days and you know, he'll say, like, okay, so what do you think you're doing? And I find myself, I can definitely recognize if something doesn't go right, where it went wrong. And I really appreciate that now, like, that I felt like I was tearing myself apart, but now I know that it's all to move forward and to get through the challenges. And then once you get there, like they say, I don't know the quote for sure, but it's from Tony or from Robin Sharma, messy in the beginning, terrible in the middle, and beautiful in the end, or something like that.
Ugly at the beginning, messy in the middle.
So I mean, that's how you got to look at it. And I think that if you have your goals, the grittiness that you have and the challenges that you're working through are all going to be worth it in the end. And that's what's just going to, you know, in order to have, I think when I'm listening to everybody talking about grittiness, and I listened to that book as well, and I think that it's if you have the goals and you're really passionate about your goals, then that grittiness is just going to come along with it. It's because if you're working towards something that you really want, you'll do everything you can to get it. And I think that's it. I'll throw it back to you, Greg.
Great thoughts, Eileen. And again, you're a great inspiration to someone that's new in their career. You're doing really well. You're a great example of someone that you're really validating your grittiness, and you're trusting your leaders, and that's a game changer. And you're going to do well. We have no doubt about it, and you are doing well. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to go to, actually, Fred, I'd like you to speak to this, Fred. Ownership of personal development. Taking ownership of personal and professional development, seeking opportunities for growth. Can you speak to that, Fred?
Well, this is a really, I think this is a really important meeting because, you know, there is no success without grit. You know, you might have momentary victories, but without grit, you won't have truly ever become successful. And, you know, as we've been going through the meeting, I've been thinking, you know, grit is one of those characters that we, as a society, admire. So to understand grit, what I've done is I've really studied people that I consider to be my heroes. You know, success through grit leaves clues. So if you read autobiographies or biographies of people that you really admire, you'll see that they have certain characteristics. They all had a mission to be that was greater than themselves. They all had a desire to be of service to other people. You know, people like Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Mandela, Tubman. These are some of my personal heroes that I like to admire. The grit that these people had was insurmountable. They were always focused on others, and they were always focused on their mission. They were, that's why they became heroes to us. You know, every day we have the opportunity to become a hero to someone else. You know, when you think of the people we do business with, these are underserviced, self-employed people. When they get hurt or sick and they can't go to work, there's nothing federally or provincially in place for them. We are the only ones that will stand shoulder to shoulder with these people every single day and provide them with a guaranteed income. We become their heroes at that moment, because without us having that grit, that courage to walk up to that stranger and say, "Good morning, my name is," they wouldn't even have the ability to feed their family or keep the roof over their head. So, you know, this whole concept of grit is so important. Just study the people that you really admire, the heroes that you really admire, and just the great autobiographies out there and great biographies out there. You know, we get to be someone's hero every single day we go out and talk to people. We just don't know which person we're going to be the hero of. I remember the first individual that I wrote that got hurt. I got a phone call from his wife. He was an independent owner-operator. And the conversation started out with, "Thank God you came to see us that day." Her husband had fallen off a ladder, taken down the Christmas lights, and broke both his ankles. He was an independent owner-operator of a tractor-trailer. Wasn't going to drive for a very, very long time. It was my grit to go up and talk to this individual. And at that moment, I felt like I was the hero for that family, because there was nothing else in place for them. And imagine getting a phone call from a client after you've sold them. I sold a lot of different products in my career, but nobody ever phoned me up and said, "Thank God you came and sold us that Coca-Cola that day. Thank God you came and sold us that Coca-Cola that day." Can't imagine that. But we can be heroes every single day. And I feel like the hero every day. So I could go on. I love this topic. You know, there truly is no success without grit. I'll kick it back to you, Greg.
Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts, and it's true. You can be a hero. You just don't know who to. But when you get that call that one of your clients got hurt, all you can think about is you're happy that you made a difference. You added value. And the next question is who else can I help? So thanks for sharing that, Fred. And I'm going to go to Bill Hurley. Bill, I'd like you to speak to this. Engage in role play. Practice handling objections, negotiations, and sales scenarios through role-playing exercising. This builds confidence and sharpens your skills. Can you speak to that, Bill? Are you there, Bill? Okay, maybe he's having some difficulty. I'll go to Alan.
I'm here, Craig. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Well, part of the whole experience and learning experience with this organization and what we've been provided with as agents and how to effectively approach people and speak to total strangers is all about knowing your craft. And the knowing the craft is being so good at overcoming objections and then practicing with your mentors or others on what to do and how to respond and even to learn the emotional stories that others have had if you are new in the organization and don't have any of your own. If you've been with the organization for a while, you have a lot of valuable experience in understanding how the system works and how actually the program works when somebody does get hurt. And those stories are invaluable. But practicing them, it seems a little ridiculous at the beginning, but I remember when I first started in the organization, I would record practice on my own in my basement and record what I was saying and how I was saying it and practicing those emotional stories and just listening back. Because when we get, and it helps not only at the beginning, but helps all the way through your career, because, you know, we're talking to so many people each day and approaching so many people that sometimes we get a little, we hear the same story over and over again, but sometimes we realize that this person we're sitting in front of has never heard this before. So that's a brand new concept, a brand new opportunity for them, but it's an opportunity that we presented to hundreds of people before. So from time to time, part of the issues that we face as agents going out there is become too, not complacent, that's not the word, but how do we sound? How do we, when we approach people, is it a monotone, or do you still have that, do we still have that excitement in our voices, and really, do we still have the urgency in our voices when we talk to people? So from time to time, that's what you're sitting down with your coach, your mentor, or another agent is, how do I sound when I talk to people? Or when you take somebody out on a call, that's why it's great to be pairing up with somebody, because they can certainly be your voice of reason or hear what you're saying and say, well, this is, try this, try that. And that's really helpful. You know, again, this very early on in my career, sitting, going out with another agent and going through the whole presentation, getting right to the end, and then nothing happened. And so we sat down after, and he said, Bill, you're going too fast. Slow down. And again, you become so experienced at the presentation and what you're doing that you don't understand how you really sound and how other people are perceiving you. So that's very helpful. And you got to keep working on it. Again, it's not something that you work on tomorrow and the next week, and then say, "Well, I'm perfect at it. Now I got this down." It's always self-evaluation, as you said many times before, Greg. When you sit down how do you feel about this presentation? Why was it good? Why was it bad? How can I do better at it? So it's always self-education, but relying on others that can help you overcome some of those challenges. But again, it's a lot of practice. Continue to practice. Continue to get good at telling the emotional stories and really articulating as you get into the, as you move further along in your career, you learn to what emotional stories will work with what people, what type of emotional story should you tell, your first one, your second one, your third one, and practicing them and getting really good at them and owning them is what we always say, is own those stories as though that was something that happened to you or a friend of yours, or somebody close to you. And that's, that, again, it's all about practice. It's not, doesn't come overnight. It's the continuation and knowing that you need to continue to improve and how you can improve and the support you've got to improve. Back to you, Greg.
Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts, Bill. And again, you know, for years and years, you've been a President Club winner with us. And you just, you know, I can remember the humble beginnings when you and I were working together, you learning your craft. And yet I can remember how amazing you were at just trusting the process and, you know, to the point you made it your own property. and you became successful in our business. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Bill. And literally, we're almost out of time. I want to just give acknowledgement to Lorraine. She had her icebreaker. And I want to recognize her. Last week she made her first sale. You never forget your first sale. So congratulations, Lorraine, on your first sale. I know you're working very closely with Jack, and I know Jack's very excited and happy for you. So congratulations, Lorraine. And I'm going to go to Adam. Adam, I'd like you just to finalize your thoughts on what you heard today from the call. Again, been with us. I've lost count now. How many years has it been, Adam?
I think we're in 13 now.
13 years now.
Yeah.
So you know, again, you're a good example of what grit is. Finalize your thoughts on what you heard today, Adam.
Grit is a muscle that we got to exercise, and when we do, we get more confidence. And it's really, grit is going to be expressed slightly different through all of us, but it's going to be expressed by continuing to do something that we ourselves think is difficult and then seeing it through. And when you do that and you tick that box of your goal, you end up being empowered with confidence. And I think that we're all familiar with an idea, you know, when you're out there and you're going through the nose, you know, I remember vividly thinking, I wish I could exude more confidence. And the portal to doing that is to knowing that your pursuit is doing something you yourself think is difficult, and then not stopping until you do it. And when you do that, you grow. And that's all that we heard different explanations of that today, but we're here for the pursuit of improvement, the pursuit of growth. And you cannot do that without putting yourself in a position that's slightly uncomfortable and then getting comfortable in that discomfort. That makes you stronger and more robust. And that's what grit is to me. It's the pursuit, even when it doesn't really feel like you want to do it. You know that there's a bigger picture at play. Back to you, Greg. Great call.
Great way to wrap up the thoughts of this subject today. It is an incredible subject, and when you really understand what it takes to be successful in life, this business is beautiful. It really is an amazing business. Yet, as Robin Sharma says it, it might be ugly at the beginning, messy in the middle, but beautiful in the end. And Jerry, I'd like you just to close the meeting on your final thoughts.
Well, it was an excellent meeting. It was spot on, very, very pointed towards what excellence of the human spirit is all about, and that is distinctiveness. And it brought to mind today, just listening to the conversation, a conversation I had with Bob Goodman. That doesn't ring a bell with anybody, but Bob was a long-term professional with our company, wonderful job, but his hobby, and he was also a spotter for the Kansas City Chiefs. He'd have been a former football player, and he did very well with us, but he was an unusual spotter. He would go to third-tier, fourth-tier football teams. I don't know how they're all listed differently, small towns, and he would find some very unique talent that no one ever heard of, and some of these guys became superstars. And I asked him, flying out in our plane to a meeting in Calgary, and I said to him, Bob, what do you look for? You won an award from the Kansas City Chiefs of being one of their top spotters. What do you look for? Well, how do you find this talent? And he says, I look for the young men that just don't quit. Wow. Is that grit? In other words, not any special talent, not any special training, the person that just wouldn't quit. And we all see that in ourselves when you just don't quit. You use the word perfectly, stubbornness. That's how this company was built, because of the stubbornness of a person that said, I really want a chance to build something, and I promise you. And everybody kind of snickered. I know that. I was told that this guy, you know, he's not going to do it. Well, then everybody thought Canada was the only place to build, and these guys kept wanting to change their citizenship and come up here. The whole idea, my good friend, is if you've got that grit, and you know you do, as the great man that built the light bulb, Benjamin Franklin, said, I never fail. I just found 10,000 ways how not to make a light bulb. And I thought that was a beautiful way of looking at just keeping on, keeping on, keeping on until you get your goal done. And that's how we built an empire. One presentation at a time, 20 presentations for the week, sticking with the prospect, closing on emotion, and doing your best all the time, because that happens to become habitual, which is the word for habit. And you just do it all the time. Great meeting. Thank you all very much. It's always wonderful. You inspire me all the time. Back to you, Greg, to shut it down.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Let's just have a great day and reflect on the thoughts that were shared today, and let's put it into action. Bye for now.
Goodbye.